with teachers willing to teach you about the Lord. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to start with that verse. We've got some more. I picked 20 verses to read. 20 verses for 2020 of seeing Jesus. God's been good to us this year, hasn't he? He really has. I know we've had hard times. We've had some good times too, haven't we? And that's what we got to focus on, the blessing of the Lord. I say this a lot, and I know we've all got our issues. We're going through storms, and some of you have pain and family issues and different things. But, you know, none of you in this room this morning are in a nursing home because you're here. None of you are locked up and have an inmate number with a hashtag on the front of it because you're here. None of you are in the hospital or the emergency room or under the knife of a doctor right now. Because you're here. And all of you are breathing because God says breathe. And I'm thankful that God has brought me and my family through another year. It is hard to believe we're about to enter 2020. I mean, man, you know, back when you were a kid, you heard 2020. When you're like, that sounded like way. I remember the movie first came out, the movie 2001 or something, or 2000, some movie come out, 2000, Odyssey 2000 or something like that. That's like come out in the 80s, and I'm like, man, that seems so in the future. Man, we're about in 2020. You know? I mean, that's amazing. 2020. We are blessed to be here, and I want us to reflect on the goodness of God for this season, and I'm looking forward to 2020, of seeing God clearly, and I want our focus. My message this morning is going to be our focus in 2020 being on him fully. Not letting distractions block our view of God. Not letting things get in our way of God. Not letting the things of the world affect us from seeing God. Not letting other people affect us from seeing God. Not letting church and religion affect us from seeing God. Not let preachers affect us from seeing God. Things can get in our way if we let it. And I want us to clearly see who Jesus is. Jesus is not the bad guy. Jesus is not vengeful and wrathful. Jesus came to save us, to redeem us, to restore us. We sung the first song, Jesus, Son of God. No, a world hadn't seen such a love as this. As Rodney said, he's being crucified, suffocating for his life, just moments probably from death. In his own pain, when he says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. You know what he meant? They have no idea they're destroying the King of Kings. They don't know. In their ignorance, they don't know. They released Jesus over a murderer in their ignorance. And Jesus died for the morons that crucified him. He died for the boneheads that whipped him at the post. He died for those that come against him. He died for those, and Melon will relate to this, he died for those who spit in his face. What would you do, Melon, if somebody spat in your face? She would be going off. They spat. They cursed him. They blasphemed him. Yet he didn't open his mouth. The Bible says he was like a sheep led to slaughter. He didn't say, don't do this. He didn't say, stop, I give up. He didn't cry, uncle. He went through completely because this is the Jesus that loved us. Let's read Matthew 17. We'll read verses 1 through 8. This is talking about the transfiguration, they call it, of when Jesus shared a very special moment with three of his disciples. Verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make thee three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I want to make just a noted point here. I brought it before through the years. How did Peter know that was Moses and Elijah? I wouldn't know Moses. If he walked in Walmart, would y'all? Peter knew who these two prophets were. That could only come by divine revelation. And also tells us this. We will know those on the other side. We will know them. I think that's a fascinating fact that Peter recognized. You know, we tend to think, well, he's a Bible guy. They were Bible guys. Man, we're talking thousands of years apart. We're talking 1,000 years from Moses apart. Hundreds of years, 1,000 years. He would have known who they were. There wasn't some scrapbook. There's your great, 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 great daddy Moses. He wouldn't know that. But somehow, revelation came to realize to Peter who they were. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That's a message right there, right? Hear ye him. Don't hear what the world says. Don't hear what religion says. Hear what God says. Hear his voice. Hear it with clarity. Hear it with confidence. And do what you hear. It's like you tell your kids raising to do things. I hear you. I hear you. But they don't do them. Hearing without doing is foolishness. You know, your car is 2 quarts low on oil. And a mechanic says, "You're 2 quarts low. Do you hear me?" "I hear you." "You go put oil in it?" "Well, he said I need oil. I heard him." You didn't listen. Listening means you do what you hear. You apply the knowledge that comes to you. When God is speaking to you, are we just hearing him like Charlie Brown? Right, 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 right. Or are we doing what he says for us to do? Even James says that, right? Don't be just to hear the word, be a doer. If a man knocks on your door, "Hey, I'm hungry." "Oh, bless your heart, I'll be praying for you. Go in peace." You ain't got a pack of ramen noodles? I need something. We send the guy away still hungry. "I hear you hungry. I hear you. But I'm not going to do a thing about it." God is speaking to us all the time. But are we hearing him to the point that we're allowing his voice to become evident in our life to where it moves us into action and following what his word says? Hear what God says. Listen to Jesus. When his disciples heard it, heard the voice, they fell on their face and were afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and says, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. You know what this was all about? Jesus was bigger than the prophets. He was bigger than the law. He was bigger than what they had heard. He was coming to swallow up death and hell. He was coming to swallow up and fulfill the law that none of us could fulfill. Yes, Moses was great. He was a deliverer. He was a savior of the people in the physical sense. Elijah was great. John the Baptist was great. All these men were great men of God who served God. But Jesus was the only one left standing. God saying, "This is the one that will fulfill all things. This is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is head honcho. He's number one. He is it. This everything in life comes through him. He is going to fulfill everything." Something else was being seen to disciples. He was showing them of his future, of what he was going to become. He was letting them know, "I am the Messiah. I am the King of kings. I am the risen one. I am going to restore the kingdom. You're seeing me in a way that nobody else has ever saw me, in a way of transfiguration. I am going to be what I said I'm going to be. I'm not just a man. I'm not just a miracle worker. I am God in the flesh who came to die and going to raise the third day and restore the kingdom forever." And you're a part of experiencing this special moment on this mountain. Us four are experiencing this right now. I'm letting you know of my future. And because of my future, your future is bright too. Because I'm going to raise the dead, you too shall raise the dead. Because I'm going to be transformed, you too shall be transformed. Death's not going to hold you, and the grave's not going to keep you. But life is swallowing up death. This is the Jesus I want to paint a picture of this morning as being the King of kings and fulfilling all things forevermore. He satisfied the demands of sin at the cross. He paid the price in full at the cross. Your debt's been paid at the cross. You owe nothing anymore because of the cross. Quit trying to send bricks to heaven whenever your place has already been prepared by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't labor anymore, but cease from your works and rest in me and what I have done for you. That is the Jesus that the world needs to see. Not the Jesus of damnation and hellfire, like a werewolf with fire in his eyes. That's not why Jesus came. And I'm going to prove it to you. For you people that like the hell message, I'm going to prove to you who Jesus is. John 3:16. Let's turn to it. Ashley, without looking, can you quote John 3:16 sitting back there? Go ahead. Very good. Did you see her? John 3:16. Here's what Jesus said. For God so hated the world. Excuse me. For God so loved the Jews. No. God so loved the Gentiles. No. God so loved white people. For God so loved the world. If you're living, you're a part of the world. Whether you're in Italy, Africa, Australia, America, even California. You're part of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him. Turn all the mics down except mine, Brandon. Or mute them so they don't pop. He so loved the world that who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came not to give me a ticket downstairs, but he gave me a ticket to that big apartment up in the sky. A piece of the pie. And y'all know what show I'm talking about. Moving on up to that deluxe apartment in the sky. Man, Jesus came not to damn me, but to save me. He offers eternal life. If you still don't believe that verse, verse 17, and I'm a John 3:17 person, about as much as I'm a 16 person. You never see shirts John 3:17. You need to make some, man, okay? Make some on your little machine, John 3:17. They're going to think it's an error. The whole world's going to think, John 3:17, she messed up on that one. But look what it says. I love 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. See Jesus as who he is. He is a Savior who came to this world not to cast judgment on us, but to redeem us from that judgment, to save us from our sentence, to take our place that the judge would say, you are now counted innocent and acquitted forevermore because Jesus took your sin debt upon you. Upon him in place of you. 3:16 and 17. See Jesus clearly. He's a Savior. He's a Redeemer. And he loves the world. What about the ones, man, that are holding up these signs of these protests, and you can't tell whether they're a boy or a girl, and they're using middle fingers, and they're spitting and cussing, and, you know, using God's name in vain, and saying, you know, da-da, just being totally unhonorable and disrespectful to God, to his word. What about those people? Let me ask you this question. Are those people part of this world? They are. It's not the world we want to live in. I get it. I don't want them living beside me. I understand that. But they're part of the world. We need to be very careful of painting a picture of Jesus to just a certain group of people. You know, Jesus is good for y'all. Y'all Pentecostals, God really loves y'all, you know. God loves you Baptist folks too, you know, and you don't raise your hands a whole lot, but he still loves you. And God loves you Methodists, you know, you don't hardly budge and you look around like you're scared like a deer in a headlight. Somebody claps their hands, oh my gosh, what's happening right here? Oh my gosh. He loves y'all too. And he loves the Catholics, you know, the ones that still pray to Mary, bless her little hearts, don't know that Mary ain't got no power, it's all in Jesus. Mary's a great woman, but my wife's a great woman, I don't pray to her. I'm scared of her, but I don't pray to her. So
I pray to God about her. But all of these are part of the world. The homosexuals, they're part of this world. You know, the transvestites, part of this world. The ones that don't know what they are, part of this world. The drug addicts, part of this world. Alcoholics, part of this world. Democrats, part of this world. Liberals, part of this world. Stiff-neck Republicans, part of Donald Trump is part of this world, y'all. I know what y'all are thinking. Don't say nothing out loud. We in church. But he's part of this world, too. Every living breath is part of this world. And God came that his price would pay the debt for his people, which is the world, not just certain ones. Why do you think Jesus always went to the underdog? You read the Gospels? He went Samaritan woman, right? You know, hoochie-coochie woman with all these men. You know, he goes to Zacchaeus, crooked tax collector. Even the Pharisees fussed at him. Why are you always eating with sinners? Why are you always going to the bad people, Lord? Because they need a Savior. And they know they need a Savior. You arrogant ones, I'm okay. I was baptized one time when I was 3.5 years old. Sprinkled 3 drops on my head. And I'm good. Okay, whatever. Man, we can shout on Sunday and curse on Monday, can't we? Ain't none of us good. We can be great on Sunday morning, put on our face and love Jesus and give our offering and raise our hands and clap and say, good message, preacher. But then middle of the week, behind those closed doors sometimes, we're a different person, aren't we? And God knows that. And he still loves you. Barbara's horror is to believe God does love Don. He really loves Don a lot. Don's part of the world. And he loves Don very much. He loves all of you very much. So we're painting the picture of Jesus, who he is. Romans 3. Reading 20 verses this morning. Romans 3. Chapter 3, verse 23. We don't like this verse, but it's the reality of it. Verse 23 in Romans 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How is that possible? Because we were all born in sin. All of us do. How old is Emma Grace now? 19 months. Does she ever misbehave at all? Why would little Emma Grace at 19? She don't know how to misbehave. Nobody's taught her how to misbehave. Carrie's not sitting down with her. Now, here's the rules of misbehaving. When you don't like what I say, you give me the look like that. So do it, Emma Grace. Yeah, that's a good look. You roll your eyes at me. You tell me no when I tell you to do something. Let's practice, Emma Grace. Go to your room, Emma Grace. No, good girl. We don't teach our kids that. Emma Grace is bad all on her own. And she's cute, that little red curly hair, and walking behind her mama's leg, looking like a little innocent angel. Little Emma Grace. But I bet there's time behind closed doors that carries her full name. Emma Grace Nitsu! It don't take long for a youngin' to act out. Never forget popping Christian's hand one time when she was little in a buggy. She was little. She was, under a year old. Or right at a year old. Maybe under a year old. She's sitting in the buggy. We're going, huh? Yeah, look how she turned out. So she's in a grocery store. She's reaching for something on the shelf, like jars or something. I said, no, Christian. What does she do? I pop that hand. She looked, I'll never forget the look. I popped her hand and she turned around like, you really can do that? And then she had the delayed cry. Ah! Like a delayed cry. She looked at her, I can't believe you really popped my hand. Guess what? She didn't do it again. Probably ever, but not that day. We act out young because we're born into sin. We must recognize the only remedy for sin is righteousness. And righteousness does not come through us. It comes through Jesus, through the one Lamb of God. I got good news for you, though. Don, there's good news for you, though. You're a sinner. Look what the next verse says. We have been justified freely. The word justified means to acquit or to vindicate. We have been vindicated. We've been acquitted freely, no cost. By his grace, not our works, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man, Jesus did all the work. For you sports fans, some of you will know this answer. Go look stupid at me doing it, but you want to know the answer. What does this mean when you see an athlete do this? A great point with that, but none of y'all wouldn't answer my question quick enough, so I forgot it. Anyway, we have, justified. I don't know. We've been acquitted. We've been declared righteous. We've been declared not guilty, not by anything we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And there's no cost. How many times has religion beat us into a corner with everything that we've got to do? That we have to do. How many preachers have you talked to that give you all this stuff that you got to do? And they question if you even saved or not. Well, are you really saved now? Because, you know, if you're really saved, you probably wouldn't. Really? Look, we still got eyeballs, right? We can see. We still got ears. We can hear. And man, we still got a big old fat tongue. We can talk. And the Bible says in James, no man can tame the tongue. It's a smallest member, but it, you know, boasts great things. Talks about it being like a thing from hell. You know, it's a fiery thing. We are still in the world. We're still going to mess up, but at no cost, Jesus has declared us free. If you've ever been in court and you had a case against you and it was dismissed, there is no better feeling than that. A case is dismissed. In other words, you're free to go. But I'm guilty, but you're free to go. There's a plea agreement on your behalf that you've accepted. Well, Jesus was the plea for us, and it was accepted. We have been acquitted. This is the Jesus that we need to see, that we are freely justified by his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We know this verse as well. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. As Rodney was describing Jesus on the cross in his last moments when he said, forgive them, for they know what they do. You know what he was doing? He was giving them a gift. I'm giving the world a gift. You don't know what you're doing, but man, this gift's going to change your life. This gift's going to change the world. This gift's going to reverse the curse. This gift is going to give you a future that you wouldn't have had otherwise. It would have been possible. Moses was a good man. You think Moses sinned? We know he sinned. He was a man. And the Bible talks about some things he did wrong. Remember he got mad one time because they were whining about being thirsty? We're thirsty, Moses. We want some water. And he got mad and he hit the rock. And his word was, must I fetch this water for you? God don't like that. It was God's journey, not Moses. It was God's plan, not Moses. It was God's thing, not Moses. He was the servant. We see these men that sinned. David sinned. Samson sinned. We see Abraham sinned. He lied about his wife to the king. Is that your wife? Oh, no, she's my cousin, whatever he's telling. Because he was scared. He was scared if, you know, his wife, she'd be taken from her. So he lied about it instead of trusting God. Abraham's a liar. David's an adulterer and a murderer. Samson's a drinker and a womanizer. You know, Moses had temper issues. Peter was denied. Man, Peter denied Jesus three times. Think about this. You know, Nate's at work one day. Hey, I heard you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus? Oh, well, I believe in Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. A little bit later, hey, I heard you believe in Jesus. No, I don't follow. I don't know about Jesus. Man, denied him. But who did Jesus use on the day of Pentecost? He came out of that upper room. He was so full of the Holy Ghost, he didn't deny no more. He come out there, men and brethren, hear ye the word of God. This same Jesus whom you've crucified is now Lord and Christ, Lord and King. And 5,000 people, 3,000 people were added and received that word right then. God used him. He was part of the world. And now he's declaring who Jesus is. Jesus saved me. Jesus called my name. It's a gift. Can't earn it. It's a gift.
Do you know holiness is Christ in us? It's holiness. Holiness is not something we physically put on or off. Holiness is inside of us. I can't be holy without Christ. I can't be pure without Christ. I can't be part of his family apart from him. I can't connect with him apart from his blood. That's why his blood still reaches the highest mountain and the lowest valley. It never changes. It reaches every generation, every city. And you know what? This world doesn't catch God off guard either. We're in a very different culture than what even I grew up in. Definitely what my parents grew up in and my grandparents grew up in. But, you know, one of our biggest sins in the 80s was watching MTV. Ooh, that's the devil, MTV. Them rock shows and them scantily songs and them scantily dressed girls in them videos. MTV. We've come a long way from 1981 MTV video, haven't we? Wow. But you know what? God's part of this generation too. And you know what? This is going to blow our minds. Let's take our religious cap off for a minute. I want to paint who Jesus is. And you're going to cringe me saying this, but I want you to hear this. God loves, Fars loves, God loves the perverted evildoer as much as he loves my little granny sitting back here. He loves us as much. But we get in the way and we don't present. Here's how we present Jesus to people. We walk by, and we all do it. I'm guilty of it. We all do it. I don't care what anybody says. We all judge someone by what we see. And we'll go somewhere, we'll give them the death stare. And then we do the whisper. And understand, if you're a whisper, everybody sees you doing that, okay? You're not getting by with it. Look at that woman over there. Can you believe she's wearing something like that? Well, when the day of judgment comes, I bet she won't be looking like that. Can I get a witness? Why don't we just treat her with the same love we do someone that looks like you? Because we're not comfortable with that. They're not like me. Of course they're not like you. It's okay. But Jesus loves them just as much. So we go to someone, instead of presenting the love of Christ and what he has come to do, we want to begin to throw their sins out in front of them. You need to change this and do this and do that. Well, you know, are you ready? Am I ready for what? The party? Yeah. No. Are you ready for when God comes? Are you ready? And we drill them with so much condemnation and judgment instead of presenting them what Jesus came to do. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world is searching right now for peace and for acceptance. Look at the people around you, how things have changed. The way people are dressing and looking and acting, and things have just so shifted. But they are still inside a human being. And Melanie brought up a good point one day. You know, we went by someone and they were just look all messed up. I mean, they just look like, bless their heart, they were just messed up. And Melanie made a comment and said, you know what? They were once a little baby too. They were a little innocent baby, born like every other baby. And then life's got them here. If we would paint, if I guess what I'm trying to say, if we would love to the degree that we judge, what a different place it would be. What if Jesus didn't like what you look like? Look at Doc back here. I mean, really? What if Jesus says, you know what? I don't like how Doc looks. He wore jeans. He wore jeans and tennis shoes to a church, to a sanctuary. That disqualifies him. He's in inappropriate attire. I'm sure you have. See what I'm saying? Doc's jeans and tennis shoes don't make him anything less. All they make him is cool. That's all it makes him. But we do that to people, don't we? We really do that to people. I told you I was at McDonald's one day and I was sitting with some people and they were talking about, you know, so do you preach against tattoos? Do you preach against piercing? Do you preach? And I was saying, no. And I'm sitting there, and that's what I told them. I said, I preach about Jesus. I mean, to be honest, I think there's only, I know there's one verse, one, in Leviticus that talks about don't mark yourself up. Okay, so we got one verse
and 66 books that mention that. And we want to make a doctrine out of that. How many verses are there about grace, forgiveness, redemption, mercy, blood, the atonement? A lot more, I would say. And I want to say this for those of you that feel that way. Now, I'm not a tattoo person. Don't have none on me. And I'm going to tell you something. Me and Melanie will be oddballs in about 30 more years. We're going to be walking around the streets. And people are going to be going, like how we look at y'all now. They're looking at us. What's that? It's skin. Wow. That's what skin looks like? I can't see my skin. That's cool, man. The tattootless are going to be the cool ones in 30 years. But you know what? Doesn't change how God feels about you. And we form doctrines off ridiculous things. And wonder why people, you know, I heard people say, my own son has said this, I love Jesus. I just don't like the ones that follow him a whole lot. But you think about that a minute. What are we presenting? When Don goes around the country speaking on behalf of Alarm South, he does lectures and speaks. Don, when you speak, don't you paint the very best picture you can of your company and your product? He doesn't get up there and say, well, here I am. It's okay if you want it. It's kind of high, overpriced, made in China. It's a little bit cheap. But, you know, I'm getting paid $100 an hour. So I tell you what, if you want it, come see me. If not, other people have good product too. And thank y'all. Let's take a break. Be like, okay. Don, I'm sure, presents his company, represents the very best of his ability. I guarantee Don don't wear jeans and tennis shoes when he goes. When you speak, right? You're dressed up like me. Tie, jacket, probably. I'm representing Alarm. Man, we're representing Jesus. How are we representing him? Are we presenting him with hate? That's not who Jesus is. Or with love? With judgment? That's not who he is. Forgiveness. What are we painting? All right. What am I at? Hebrews now? This is where it gets good. It gets good. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. 8 and 12 says this. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that good news? Like Rodney said, let go of unforgiveness. Let's let go of judgment too in 2020. Man, we'll beat that dog over and over and over again. Man, let it go. We learned that in Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. I mean, man, alive. We keep bringing up other people's sins, and we keep in our mind our own sins to the point it paralyzes our life. If God says, I'm going to wipe the slate clean, your sins are no longer going to be held against you because I satisfied that demand at the cross. The cross is enough. Period. What happened 2,000 years ago is all that ever, ever, ever needed to happen to make us righteous in the eyes of God. And nothing can be added to that. Nothing. I'm going to tell you something. When you know who Jesus is, you will serve him and you will want to live for him. It does not give you the license to do what you want, because if you truly have a love for the Lord, you will do what he wants you to do to the best of your abilities. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you're going to follow him and serve him. I'm going to remember their sins no more. Now look at chapter 9, same book. Go over one page, chapter 9. Verse 12 also. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, talking about the priestly order that couldn't take away sin, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, talking about Jesus, he entered in 3,641 times. He entered in once. We keep trying to get resaved, don't we? All the time. Resaved, resaved. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. One offering forever for us. Our minds have a hard time wrapping around it because we've heard our whole life damning preaching, condemnation preaching. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to not to do, what you shouldn't do. We see here, he went in one time. The priest, the Bible says the priest stood there daily. One verse right before that talks about the priest did their daily sacrifice, and it says, but it can never take away sin. Never purified anything. It was ceremonial. They were keeping the law, but it wasn't taking away sin. You know, it's kind of like if, you know, I get a big old cut on my finger, right? And I need stitches. It's wide. But instead of getting stitches and fix it, I just put a Band-Aid on it. It's kind of how what the priest did. They Band-Aided it. But the wound's still there. Jesus fixed the wound. Jesus closed the gap. Jesus made us whole. Jesus fixed it forever. One time for all. I want to give you peace today. Here's the Jesus I'm talking about. We can take peace in knowing I've got eternal redemption. Man, I've got a life insurance policy. Call it whole life. Call it term. All I know is this term don't run out. It's a whole life. Hallelujah. And it goes on forever and ever and ever because I have accepted this sacrifice and this gift into my life called Jesus. And it come to me at no cost. He paid the price. If that ain't good enough for you, let's move on to verse 13. Hebrews 10. Next chapter. We're in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which we, talking about the world, talking about Don, Doc, Nate, James, Melanie, by the which we are sanctified. Sanctified. We're not sanctified, church, through what we do. We're sanctified through what he did. We are sanctified through our shouting. Don't say that. We're sanctified through our giving of our offerings. Don't say that. Which we appreciate that and we need that. We are sanctified through all of our religious works. It says we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. And if you're wondering, some of y'all are still stuck and it's fine. It's what I preach out of. This is old KJV. This ain't some weird version of the Bible. This is what all of you grew up on. Once and for all, we are sanctified. We are set apart by the offering of Jesus Christ. Man, this is the picture of Jesus we need to see. And we need to let the world see. Everybody is so mindful of hell more than they are mindful of him. If they would get their eyes on who he is and not on what hell is about, who he is. This is what you came to save me from. Yes, Lord. We would have so much peace. Man, we try so hard to earn God's favor. And church, I believe there's times that we fast. I believe there's times, of course, that we give. There's times that we pray. There's times we read our word. There's times we witness. All those things are things we do as Christians. But me fasting for 3 days doesn't make me any holier to God. It may be a moment I need to hear differently from God or to have a direction I'm praying for, you know, or to cleanse my soul. But does it make me holier? And so many times we think that. I read more, I'm holier. I fast more, I'm holier. I give more, I'm holier. All we're holy because of Christ. And that's the picture that we need to see, who he is. Verse 11, I just said this a while ago. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. You go to a Catholic priest and you go to a confessional booth and tell him all your sins or the ones you did last week or whatever you want to mention. And he absolves you according to Catholic theology. He absolves you and he gives you your penance. Tells you what you got to do in order to make it right. If I can just be honest and say it in very professional preacher-pastor terms, That's bull. It's not how it works. A man can't forgive you. A man can absolve your sins. And you can absolve your sins by what you do. You can go out and do being things good, but it doesn't absolve your sins. These priests every day would do their thing, and the Bible clearly says, and these were priests in our time period. It would be the Catholic priests be the closest thing to what we're reading here. Catholic priests do a daily routine. They do a weekly routine. I've been to Catholic services, a couple of them, and I've been to a couple Catholic funeral services, and it's very routine. It's very much the same, and it's very a lot of things happening, lighting this, spraying the incense over the body, you know, doing things like that that absolutely have no power in them. I want you to see who Jesus is. That's what changes. Even Peyton said that. Only God can change your life. Man, only Jesus changed our life. We must be careful and not let other people distract us from seeing Jesus clearly. These priests stood there daily, and it says they can never take away sins. But look at verse 12. There's good news for us sinners. This man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one, not daily, not many, not multiple, one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He went in one time, this Jesus, forevermore, and absolved our sins. I can trust that. I can trust that. We got to be very careful of mixing works with our faith. And once again, I want to say this. When we truly surrender our lives to God and say, Jesus, I believe in this gift, and I want to be part of this cleansing, something happens in our life. We're different. Our heart changes. Some of y'all have testimonies that are powerful. Doc's got a powerful testimony. My grandpa had a great testimony. There's many others that have that testimony where when God came into your life, you changed. There was a change inside of you. You want to serve God. You want to be different. You want to honor Him because, man, why, look what He done for you. I've got a price that I owe that I can, you know, we think our house payments are bad and our credit card debt and our car payments, and we think that kind of debt, you know, man, I'm going to be paying, you know, bills my whole life. And yes, you will. Pretty much you'll be paying something your whole life. Even you people's got everything paid off. You got utility bills and power bills and insurance bills and medical bills. You'll be paying something your whole life. It never ends. Enjoy your childhood, children. Enjoy it, because it never ends. Think about here's the good news. You can pay a mortgage off eventually. You can pay a credit card off. You can pay a car off. You can't pay sin off. You just can't do that. And Jesus stepped in and took the note from us that we owed. And gave us the key to eternal life. It's now yours. And no, here's the good news. Here's the good news. I want you to hear this. Please get the religious junk out of your head. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can take it from you. The devil can't take it from you. And God ain't going to take it back. Oops, wrong key to wrong person. Got them mixed up. Barbara gets the Lincoln and Don gets the Pinto. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. God knows what He's doing. And nobody and nothing can separate us. Romans 8 tells us that, right? No death, nor life, nor principality, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to enter 2020 knowing who you are. I am a blood-bought, redeemed, forevermore child of the living God. And the devil can't do one dad burn thing about it. I'm His now and forevermore. I'm covered and I'm smothered. I'm like the Waffle House hash browns. There's everything up on me. I am everything in God. And nothing can change that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And make sure you say your blessing if you ever eat there, okay? Just saying. Let's close this out. Verse 14, it goes on to say, for by one offering, here's again, one offering, not many, not all this junk we got to do. By one offering, he, Jesus, has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Here's your question. Well, what if I ain't sanctified? Let's read again, verse 10. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. So yes, you are sanctified. You are redeemed. You are justified. You are his child forevermore. Live that kind of life and have confidence in who you are in Christ. Don't go into 2020 not knowing this. Clearly see Jesus. Verse 17 and 18. Or verse 17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Man, these are verses that ought to absolutely make you shout hallelujah and ought to get all that stuff and junk out of your head thinking I got to do all this stuff. We see the power of who Jesus is. And this is the picture we should be painting to the world, that Jesus died for the world, even the world that we don't always love and we don't always like. He died for the atheist. He died for the Muslim. He died for the Buddhist. He died for the black, the white, the Hispanic. He died for every religion, every denomination. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for every single person that will be born. Christian's church in Florida she goes to is heavily Hispanic. And they have an Hispanic service. And she was sharing yesterday how that song that we sing here, How Great Is Our God, that they do it there, and they'll go into the Spanish version of that. And how beautiful that is. And I want you to think about this. You know, aren't languages, isn't it kind of funny how God gave us different languages? You know, I was somewhere the other day and there was, I see these people and they were as white as me. And they were talking a complete foreign tongue. Oh, do you see that coming? And I guess they were somewhere from Europe, some European, I imagine. But they were, and I was like, that is so fascinating how God gave different languages. And did you know this? I know y'all know this, but this is pretty cool. The word hallelujah is the same in every language. Hallelujah is the same in every language. And Doc, what does hallelujah mean? It's the highest praise you can give God. And yet that word is the same in every language. Spanish, Italian, German, Russian. Hallelujah. However they say it, you know. It is the hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. It means the same. Jesus came into the world as this baby. This baby will be gone by next Sunday, so make sure you look at it. He came as this baby. And he grew into a man. And he died to take away our sins. This gift came to a manger and ended on a cross. And that gift's for all of us. I want you to clearly see Jesus in 2020 and don't let other things get in your way. I want 2020 to be a year that we put Jesus first in our lives, that we put the things of God first. We put his word first. Here's one, this is a shot from the pastor, okay? Let's put church first in 2020. How about that? Let's put church first again. So you know what? I can come for 90 minutes a week to a church service. You know, it ain't gonna kill me. What don't kill you makes you stronger, strong. I'm just saying. 90 minutes ain't going to kill you. People say, I ain't going to be there this Sunday because I got to, you know, I got something to do. Look, we're out by 11. You got the whole day. I know your hind end's just sleeping in. You can clean your house from 11:30 to midnight. Yes, let's make church great again. There you go. Let's make church great again. But 2020 is a new year. It's a new season. And I want you to see Jesus clearly. I want us to let go. Marty, come on up here and play a little something just real soft. I want us to pray this morning. This is our last service in 2019. And I want us to pray as a church together that God will, first we're going to thank him for the year we've had in 2019, thank him for all his blessings. And then I want to pray over the church and over all of you for 2020, that it's a year of blessing. It's a year of growth. It's a year of prosperity. And what I mean by that, I don't mean just money. I mean prosperity in your life.
good well-being, prosperity in your body, in your mind, in your soul, with your family, that God grows things in 2020. And most of all, that this year, 2020, we will clearly see Him and keep our eyes upon Him. Remember, Peter was walking on the water toward Jesus. Everything was cool as long as he was looking at Jesus. But when he got his eyes off of Jesus and on the storm around him, he began to sink. That's what happens in our lives. When our eyes get off Jesus, we begin to sink. Turn our keyboard down just a little bit, Brandon. When our eyes get off Him, we sink. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. And when people around you this year, and God will put people in your life to influence and to talk to, please don't be one of these. And I'm being symbolic here. Don't be one of the people at the workplace that's holding a sign saying, oh, you're on your way to hell because you're a nasty, worthless sinner. Do it differently. Talk to them. Smile at them. And see where God takes that. It's, you know what happens? We're all like this. If you're married, you've ever had an argument, when you start arguing with each other, don't you just really shut down? You shut down. You're not listening. You shut down. I don't want to hear it. But you don't shut down love the same way, because everybody wants to be loved. Everybody needs to be loved. I told you the conversation I had a couple months ago. A guy I didn't know called me on the phone one night. Or I called him because somebody in the church said this guy's going through something like killing himself. I know you don't know him. Can you reach out? I call this guy. We're talking. And that was his thing. He told me, he says, nobody loves me. He says, I love, but nobody loves me back. How horrible is that, to not feel loved? Everybody deserves to feel loved. And I'm going to tell you something. If nobody in this world you can think of loves you, and I find it hard to believe, because you got a pastor that loves you. So that just eliminates that right now. I love y'all, and I really mean that. But man, the God of all heavens loves you. And He gave you this gift. And there's going to be a day when that trumpet sounds for us, when our name is called, we are going to rise. And man, we're going to take our place around the throne forevermore. And we're going to see God's love completely fulfilled in that rim, the true love of what He came to do. We only see it partially now. We can't see it fully, but we will. Let us stand together. I want to pray this morning over the whole congregation. We want to thank you, Lord, for your blessings, first of all. For 2019, you've been so good to us. You've kept us. You provided for us, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you we're alive. We thank you we're still here. We thank you we walked in our own power today. We have our own mind. We can raise our hands and raise our legs, and we can see and hear and speak and smell. We thank you, God, for all you've done for us in this year. We thank you for our shelter, our food, our clothing, our provision. We are so blessed, God. We are so beyond blessed. We thank you for Calvary that changed our destiny. We thank you, Lord, that 2019 is just a physical year, but we have an eternal year coming because of you. I want to pray now for 2020 as we enter a new year starting on Wednesday. Midnight on Tuesday night, God, we'll begin a new year, a new decade. We start a whole new decade in 2020. I pray over this church that, God, you will fill this church with those that are hungry, that you will send those knocking on this door that are searching for something they can find nowhere else. I pray you draw those in need to this place in 2020. And for our family that's already here, God, I lift them before you, that you will ordain their steps in 2020, that you will move in their homes, in their families, on their job sites, wherever they are at, wherever their feet tread, that you will ordain all that is done, that your favor, that your blessing, that your mercy, that your protection, that your power, that your presence will fill our lives in 2020, that there will be a transformation in our lives, there'll be a change in our lives, there'll be a breakthrough in our lives, that chains are going to fall in 2020. This coming year, it will be a new year, a year of destiny, a different year, a year we see you clearly, maybe for the very first time, where all the religions out of the way, all the junk's out of the way, and all we see is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who is risen forevermore for our lives. Feel your people, feel this church, feel us, Lord, in the name of Jesus in 2020, that it will be a year like no other year. And we give you praise for it in the precious
name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Sing a little something, Marjorie.